you are thankful it's still the blood of Christ that saves. Amen. I'm so thankful for that fact, because without him, I wouldn't have hope. And nobody would have hope without Jesus Christ. And
I hope we never lose the awe and wonder of our salvation, what Jesus Christ did on the cross for our sins. It's truly the greatest thing, the greatest privilege we have is to be a part of his family and to be washed underneath his blood. I'd ask tonight, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, a very simple message I want to preach tonight, titled, The Blessed Man. The Blessed Man. And we're going to read Psalm chapter 1 and go into God's Word. I want to say once again, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the provision, for the housing, and also the food. As guys, we love to eat. It's just one of our many great habits that we have. Some of us, it's starting to gain on us this summer since we're doing a lot of driving. But I just want to say thank you for all you've done, Pastor and church family, for allowing us to be here. But in Psalm chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. And the Bible says this tonight. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word tonight. Lord, we thank thee for the precious truths that are found within it. Lord, I thank thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, coming to the cross and dying for our sins and giving us eternal life. Lord, it's still through your blood that we have eternal life. And may we never lose the wonder and the awe of our salvation. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that your word would be preached tonight and not mine. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you just hide me behind the cross. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that does not know thee as Savior, that tonight would be the night that they get it settled with thee. And Lord, I love you and I thank you for all you've done. It's in Christ's precious and holy name I ask all these things. Amen. Well, as many of you know, in the book of Psalms, Psalm is a very personal book. When you read the whole Old Testament, a lot of it before Psalms is historical setting of the children of Israel, and after Psalms is a lot of prophetic setting for what God is trying to do beyond the time at which the books are written. But in the book of Psalms, it is a very personal book. I think a lot of us, when you come to times of trouble and things like that, Psalm is a very familiar book that many turn to in times of comfort and need. But I think it's very interesting. I think it's obviously God's divine plan that the first chapter of the book of Psalms is on the blessed man. I don't think if I had a survey tonight, I don't think anybody here tonight would say, I don't want to be blessed. I just don't see that. Everybody in this auditorium, everybody here tonight would definitely want to say, I want to be a blessed person. And tonight, I just want to talk to you very briefly about what does it mean to be a blessed person and the signs of a blessed person. See, the simple definition of what does it mean to be a blessed man or a blessed woman of God, it means simply this. A blessed man or a blessed woman of God is a man or a woman that honors God. See, what we try to do is we compare ourselves and we look at the world and we say that's a blessed person by their wealth, by their stature, by all the things that they have to offer, that the world has to offer. But to be a truly blessed person tonight, you have to honor God. We have a lot of Christians that come to church, that read their Bibles, that do all these good things, but how many of us tonight can honestly say, as a Christian in your own heart, I truly am honoring God tonight with my life? See, if we want to be the blessed person that God wants us to be, by the way, God doesn't want to hold us back from being blessed, but if we want to be that blessed person, we have to first and foremost honor God. When we first see the word blessing in the Bible, it's with Abraham. God says to Abraham, I will bless thee. And God did bless Abraham, did he not? The children of Israel, the Israelites, the Jews today, are God's chosen people. That's the blessing that God gave Abraham. But God truly could not bless Abraham until Abraham honored God. May I say this tonight, you will not be able to be the blessed person that you desire to be until you first and foremost honor God. We cannot live our lives trying to honor ourselves and please ourselves and then expect God to bless us the way he wants to. It's very tempting to try to live that life as a Christian. The longer you're saved, the more temptation it is to kind of compromise. But you know what? The truest blessing we can ever have is when we honor the Lord. I want to talk to you first. My first point tonight is this: the prohibitions. The prohibitions. There are certain things that as Christians we cannot do, we cannot go to, we cannot read, we cannot see, we cannot do these certain things. I want to talk to you about three things that the Bible talks about in the prohibitions of a blessed person. Number one is we found in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The first thing is this: a blessed person does not seek counsel from the ungodly. Question I'm asking you tonight is, who do you seek counsel from in your day-to-day life? It's so easy, especially, to get caught up in the things of this world and to seek counsel from whoever comes into your way. May I say this: don't seek counsel from the ungodly, because you'll never get the counsel that you truly need. Only the godly Christian people in your life can truly help you go to where you need to go. A lot of Christians wind up taking the wrong step in their life somewhere along the way. And you and I have seen them, have we not? Where they take the wrong kind of counsel, or the kind of counsel they want to hear, and they wind up stepping upon that decision, upon that wisdom that was given by the lost. And where are they at today? You can't find them in a church. Many of their families are broken. Their lives are totally in ruins. Why? Because they sought ungodly counsel. Who do you seek counsel from when the decisions, when the hard decisions have to be made? You know, you as a body, you're a church family. And one of the great things about that is you can talk to one another and share each other's burdens. I know as Christians that sometimes it's obviously a form of pride. We oftentimes think, you know what, I don't want to talk to them about that. They're going to judge me. May I say this? If you have a true Christian friend tonight, that is probably one of the biggest blessings you will ever have in this world. You also have a pastor to seek godly counsel from. God places those men in your life for a reason, to help you. Who are you seeking counsel from tonight? One of the prohibitions of a blessed person is they do not seek ungodly counsel. The second thing is simply this: they do not go in the way the sinners are going. The one thing about Christianity, especially in America, is we seem to say, you know what, as long as I'm a step back from where the world is, I'm fine. I may not be doing the things the world are promoting. I may not be living the way the world's living. But as long as I'm a step back, I'll be fine. May I say this? If you're living the way that the world is living, I'd ask you to ask yourself, is that exactly what Christ would have me to live? Is that exactly how Christ would have me to react? See, one of the things about this is it's so very close and tempting to get yourself in the way of saying, you know what, as long as I'm not exactly the way the world is, I'm fine. May I say this? The world is going to keep going, and you're going to keep going with it. Think about what was promoted 10 years ago and what was thought was evil 10 years ago. Now it's considered normal. Think about the homosexuality movement 10 years ago, 20 years ago was not normal, but now it's normal. And we've got a lot of Christians that are buying into the fact that, you know what, I'm a Christian. I may not be with the world, but as long as I'm a step back away from what the world is doing, I'm okay. May I say this, friend? If you're walking in the way that sinners are going, how in the world do you expect God to use you in your testimony to get lost souls to be saved? A lot of the contemporary movement is all about this. We'll fit in. We'll sing exactly like the world sings. We'll preach exactly like the world wants us to preach. And we'll dress exactly the way the world wants us to dress. But you know what? That never works. That will never work, because God has called us to be a separated and holy people unto Him. May I ask you simply this tonight? Are you walking in the way the sinners are walking? So oftentimes, we allow ourselves to say, you know what, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'll fight this, Lord. You know what? You'll never win if you're walking in the direction of the sinners. May I say this? Their ultimate direction is eternal damnation in hell. And how do you think it would feel if someday you stand before God and you said, you know what, Lord, I was a Christian. I served you. I read my Bible, went to church every Sunday and Wednesday night. But you know what? So many souls were lost because of the fact of how we walked. And that's how they looked at us. May I say this? Do not walk in the way of sinners if you want to be a blessed man. The third point I want to make about this, the prohibition, is the blessed man does not sit with those that scorn. Read with me at the end of verse 1. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I think what's the interesting thing is they walk, and then they stand, and then they sit. You know, the scornful is a picture of those that have already made up their minds that they're not going to serve God. They don't want anything to do with God. That's what the picture of the scornful is. are you sitting with those that don't want anything to do with God? You know, because if you start sitting with them, you're going to start acting like them. And it's only a matter of time. I think we as Christians think we're invincible to the things of the world sometimes. We think, you know what? It's just one time to be with them. It's just one time to sit with them. It only takes one time for the devil to get his foothold into your life. Are you here tonight sitting with the seed of the scornful? Well, you know what? They're my relatives. I love them. Yeah, we should love our family. We should love those around us. Christ loved us even when we were in sin. He still loves us because we still continue to sin. May I say this? It's one thing to love. It's a totally different thing to abide with and to live with. Are you sitting in the seat of the scornful tonight? It's so tempting to allow yourself to get caught up in the things of this world and to say, you know what? Just one time. Just one time. And then the question we have to ask ourselves is this. How do we expect to win the lost when we're acting just like the lost? The scornful are the ones that mock God, and God will not be mocked. There will come a day for them. I do not want to stand before God and say, you know what, I preached your word, I sat with the scornful at times. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. May I say this, if you want to be a blessed man or a blessed woman tonight, you cannot stand, you cannot seek, and you cannot sit with the scornful. God will truly never use you. God will truly never bless you. But then I want to talk to you about the peculiar things that a blessed man has. The peculiar things that a blessed man has. The first one is simply this. He is a transformed man or woman. Read with me in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May I say this, are you here tonight? Have you been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? That's the first thing that a blessed man has that you can tell the difference in anybody else. I don't care where you're at. You can be in an airport, you can be at the mall, you can be at work. You can always tell if you're spiritually trying to keep yourself aware, you can always tell who are the transformed people in that place. May I ask you this, are you a picture of a transformed woman or man of Christ tonight? Can others look at you? Can the people that are closest to you say this? That is a person that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The blessed man, number one, he is a transformed man or woman. The second thing I want to talk to you about, he delights in God's word. He delights in God's word. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, very briefly. Psalm 37, the Bible says this, and starting in verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Are we delighting in God's word? It's very easy to make God's word just a mundane, day-by-day thing. Oh, I read my devotions. But are you delighting in the time with God? You know, when we're first saved, I know when I first got saved, I loved reading every part of the Bible. You know, it was just new to me. It was something that it just brought, you know, joy to my heart to know what God was doing in my life. But, you know, it gets easier to start. You don't delight in it as much. It becomes more of a chore. A blessed man delights in God's word. A blessed man delights in the time with God. Do you delight in spending time in God's word? Or is it just something you do because you're a Christian and you feel obligated to do it? A truly blessed man or woman of God delights in the time that they spend with the Lord. The third thing that we see is he meditates on God's word. He meditates on God's word. Let me read very quickly with you Joshua 1, chapter 8, very, very famous passage of scripture that many of us well know. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Question we have to ask ourselves tonight is this, am I meditating on God's word? Meditating simply is this, it's about thinking and comprehending and working through in your mind, in your heart, what you've just heard or listened. You know, we get the great opportunity of living in the greatest country in the world right now. I don't care about all the problems it has. It has a lot of problems. There's a lot of wrong things that are going on. But you know what? We get to hear the preaching of God's word 3 times a week at least, freely. But how oftentimes do we meditate on what we've heard? When's the last time you've read your devotions and truly thought about what you read all day and thought, Lord, help me to be what I've read. Help me to be transformed into your image. When's the last time we've meditated on God's word? We live in such a quick society where it's all about this. Fast food is the most popular thing nowadays, so to speak. It's all about quick timing. But you know what? God's not about quick timing. God is about thinking and meditating on him. When is the last time we've truly sat down and read God's word and just meditated on it, delighted in it, and just enjoyed it? The fourth thing, he is planted. The blessed man, the blessed woman, they are planted. His life has a purpose and design. God is in control of their life. He is planted. It says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water is a picture of Jesus Christ. The first question we have to ask ourselves is, where are we planted by? Are we planted by the world and what they have to offer? Or are we planted by the river of life, Jesus Christ? A blessed man is planted firmly in Jesus Christ. Because you know what? If they're planted there, it doesn't matter what kind of season happens. You can have a drought season. You can have the worst time of your life. But if you're planted by Jesus Christ, you will be immovable in him. Where are you planted by tonight, spiritually speaking? See, the blessed man, he's planted by Christ. No matter what comes his way, no matter what comes their way, they're always planted with the Lord. And they know that's exactly where I need to be. A blessed man is always planted by Jesus Christ. The fifth thing is simply this. He is a fruitful man. He is a fruitful man. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. John 15, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He is a fruitful man. I want to ask you this tonight. When's the last time you've seen a soul come to know Christ as Savior in your own life? When's the last time you've seen personal victory in your life with things you've had to overcome? The fruitful man, the Christian, the blessed man, he is a fruitful man. I dare say this, we could have more fruit if we allow God to work in our lives. The blessed man, he's always bearing fruit. And you can always tell those kind of people. When you walk around them, you just see God is just in their life. And God is doing great things in them. May I say this, God wants to use us tonight to be the fruitful man and woman for him. But we also see that he has to purge the fruit. The purging process is probably one of the most painful things because it requires a lot of us losing ourselves and Christ becoming more in our lives. May I say this, a fruitful man is also a man or a woman that is willing to be purged by the Lord. If we want to truly bear fruit for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to be purged. We have to be willing to be cut down at times so we may grow more to be more like his glorious image and to be a fruitful person. Are you the fruitful man or woman that God wants you to be tonight? It's so easy to say, you know what, Lord, I'm happy with where I'm at. I know exactly where I want to be, and this is where I want to be. And you know what, I've seen the blessings that I want to see, and this is it. No, God has so much more for our life. God wants us to be fruitful above all we could ever ask or think. God has more for us than we have for ourselves. And the fruitful man or fruitful woman, God wants to use. And the last thing I want to talk to you about is he's a prosperous man or he's a prosperous woman. You think about the great preachers that have come by, C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. You think about Billy Sunday, great men of God. They were prosperous. God had his touch on their lives. The blessed man is a prosperous man. I'm not talking Joel Osteen prosperous with $1 million and a nice airplane. I'm not talking that kind of prosperous. I'm talking the kind where God is touching your life and people can look at you and say, that's a prosperous Christian. God is doing something with them. Could others say of us tonight, could others say of myself, that's a prosperous Christian, that's a fruitful Christian. And the last thing I want to talk to you tonight is the promise. Turn with me once again to Psalm 1 and verses 4 through 6. The Bible says this, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The first promise we see is this, the chaff. And the chaff is the picture of the lost souls on earth. May I say this tonight, that there is coming a day where we'll not get in, you'll never get another chance to ask Christ to come into your life. There's coming a day where the world will never get another chance to repent of their sins and ask Christ to save them. Save them. You know, it's so easy. You know, we read verses 1 and we talk about those kind of people, but in verse 4 through 6, it talks about the consequence of the sinners. You know, if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, man, I would love, you may be even on the verge of compromising your life. There's coming a day where they're going to be driven away, where the lost will be no more, and they're going to spend eternity in hell. Be careful. Be careful to not compromise for the temporary things of this world. Because it says right here that they will be driven away, and there'll be no more. But we see the second part of the promise is the wheat. The wheat are those that are saved tonight. And may I say this, if you read with me again, verses 5 through 6. The ungodly are not... Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And here's the promise right here. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. May I say this tonight? God knows where you're at. You may not be receiving the blessings that you think you deserve to receive, and I may not be receiving the blessings I think I deserve to receive. But may I say this? God's blessings, if you're a blessed man or woman tonight, God knows where you're at. God's in control of all of this. He's not shocked by anything that goes on in this world. We're shocked by all of it, but God never is. God is standing on his throne tonight, and he's thinking, you know what, I've got everything under control. You know what? The blessed man and the blessed woman has God's touch on their life, and God is in control of their life. It's so easy to get ourselves caught up and to think, I have to take control, God. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't understand the circumstances, but the Lord is in control. I think of Job. The picture of Job in the Bible, when you think about, he lost everything in one day. Lost everything. His wife said, curse God and die. But if you read in Job chapter 23, verses 1 through 9, Job talks about all the things he's lost. But in verse 10, he says this, but when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. And I dare say this, Job wound up being a very blessed man at the end of the book of Job. Do not compromise for the things of the world. Maybe you're here tonight. And you're backsliding maybe. I don't know. I don't know any of your hearts tonight. I don't know where you stand between yourself and God. But may I say this, the blessed man, the blessed woman is completely sold out for Christ. God has great things in store for this church. And God has great things in store for each and every one of us as individuals. God wants to bless every man and every woman. But it does not happen until we start living for him and we start honoring him. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. May I say this, that there is coming a day where, like it says, the unrighteous shall perish. There is coming a day where you will stand before God and you will give an account for everything you've ever done. But Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father tonight for your sake, because he loves you so much. And all he asks us to do is, by grace, through faith, ask him into our hearts to come into our lives and to be our personal Lord and Savior. That's all it takes, is simple faith and asking him. If that's you tonight, I'd encourage you, get that settled. Maybe you're going through doubts of your salvation tonight. Get that settled with the Lord. Don't wait another day. You're not promised tomorrow. None of us are promised tomorrow. But for the Christian tonight, I simply ask you this. Are you honoring God? Are you honoring God with your life? Can others look at you and say, that is a person as honoring the Lord? Because if we start to honor God, we will see the blessings that he wants to bestow upon us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word.